This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by Light Up Media Group. Now, your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Inside Pitch. Boy, we have had an outstanding trip in Cuba, and we're about to talk about the second half of the show, tell you a little bit about the trip, bring back our guests, and we are going to have a special guest also on the show. And before we begin, don't forget, you know, we'd love for you to go on our Twitter feed at Inside Pitch Show. And, you know, listen to all the different tips that we give you in the game of baseball. We think that'll help a lot. Also, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/InsidePitchShow, and our website, InsidePitchPodcast.com, where you can get a lot of information. Don't forget to email me anything you'd like to know about the game, or if you want to have particular list, you know, guests that you'd like to have on the show, let us know. We always love getting information from you. My email is peter@insidepitchpodcast.com. And then go to iTunes, Stitchers, or any major podcast outlet. Click subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating if you love the show. That helps us continue the show. Right now, we are on our way from Camagüey to Santa Clara because we're going to be catching a flight to Miami. That's about a 6-hour ride from Camagüey to Santa Clara. We did another baseball camp in Santa Clara. It was outstanding. Great kids. Just great people. We visited the church. A lot of the kids there, it's amazing what they do. They go out and, you know, they help young kids in the community. They help adults that are in need. These kids are really great leaders of the community. One day they're going to be great leaders of the church. And it was really, really a great honor to be there. I know everybody was excited being there, and we enjoyed being with the kids and the father and everybody with the church. We also attended a mass that was outstanding. One of our fathers actually was involved in the mass. We got a lot of photos, a lot of videos, and we're hoping to be able to take a look at those when we get back into the U.S. So right now we're going to begin the show. We've got Ralph Santana back, and you know, Coach Seiler, Darren Seiler, he was going to be on the show, but he worked so hard during the camps that I got a feeling he just got exhausted, and he's sleeping on the bus, and we don't want to wake him up, so we're going to let him relax a little bit, and if he wakes up, then we're gonna put him on the show. But pinch hitting, we always got a pinch hitter on the show, Coach Spillman, Jim Spillman. Now, Jim was also one of the coaches on staff that was at the clinics, and he's going to pinch hit for Darren Seiler. And just let me tell you a little bit about Jim, because I already told you about Ralph Santana. Jim was a former assistant baseball coach at Xaverian Brothers High School in Westwood, Massachusetts. Currently, he's the principal at Blessed Sacrament School in Walpole, Massachusetts, and he gives up his time. I mean, being a principal is not easy. It's a very demanding job, and yet he finds the time to be a little league coach in Norwood, Massachusetts, which God bless, because we love the volunteer coaches. They're outstanding. If it wasn't for volunteer coaches, you know, the foundation of the game really wouldn't be there, because they're the ones that initially start with their young kids, and it's so important that they teach them well. So, first of all, Ralph Santana, you know, I'll briefly mention, you know, former major leaguer, infielder, and 5-time All-Star, current coach of the Southern Illinois Championship, Southern Illinois Minors. And right now, let me just say hello. Let me start with Jim and welcome him to the show first, since Ralph's been on the show.
Pete, great to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
And Mr. Santana, how about you? You glad to be back on the show, I hope?
Yeah, round two. You know, you can never go wrong with the second round with Pete Caliendo.
Well, let's start with Jim. Jim, listen, tell us your experience, first of all, about the trip a little bit, and then we'll get into the baseball part.
Sure. Well, it's just been a really profound experience from day one, getting into these communities and meeting the people who are doing such great work down here. I really didn't know much at all about Cuba when I came here. I think a lot of Americans don't. So it's been great to learn a lot more about the country and the people who are living and working here, especially the children. You were mentioning, you know, how impressive the children we met are. They're really doing some great work in the community. It's amazing to see the leadership that they show at such a young age. And then the baseball has just been just a ton of fun. You know, we've seen kids of all different talent levels, but they all shared that real love for the game, a real passion for playing. They love being out there. And, you know, I think some of the things we see back home, kids are worried about, you know, how big the bat is, how they look, you know, if they got the right sunglasses and everything. And these kids, whatever they had, whether they had a glove or no, no matter what size the bat was, whether they had shoes or not, they're out there playing. And that was really neat to see.
Well, you know, the thing that really also impressed me was, you know, these kids were in the classroom, you know, and they all had to go up and talk about their experiences and working with, you know, going out and helping young kids and adults that are in need. Well, that was really, I mean, that really hit me. You know, tell me a little bit about what you thought during that time.
Yeah, it was really inspiring to see young people so active in their community. I think, you know, sometimes in our country, we shelter the kids. We're afraid to kind of have them, you know, go out and have those kind of experiences. But these kids are, they're really evangelizing. They're literally going door to door, people talking about the work they're doing and seeing the ways that they can help. And these are kids who are 10, 11, 12 years old. And then they were so articulate speaking about it and sharing their experience. It was great to see that kind of confidence.
You know, I've got to believe, and Ralph, we're going to talk in a minute, but I've got to believe that translates into baseball too, because, you know, if you have the ability to talk to people, to go out and do things and kind of go outside your comfort zone, you know, when you play a game, you know, you're going to do the same thing, I would imagine.
Sure, absolutely. And I think we saw that with the kids, that could transition so easily from, you know, talking about their faith, talking about their work, and then getting out there and playing.
Yeah, and they're not shy about playing. I mean, they know the game and they love the game, but they're not shy. They'll be there, you know, they'll swing the bat, any bat, like you said. They'll run the bases, you know. They just love playing the game. What else during your experience, whether it be the baseball side or even, you know, maybe let's talk about the baseball side. Talk about maybe what you thought about that part.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we saw a couple different contrasts in the camps we run. We know that the kids we work with were all, you know, very, very similar skill level in both places. But I was continue to be struck by what you talked about in the first half, that first team, you know, the national team, they're playing incredibly talented kids, you know, who just seemed like every play out there. You know, the shortstop, first base, pitchers throwing hard, and they were just so consistently good. It was really neat to see that kind of talent, you know, at that level.
All right, let's put a little pressure on our coaches. What did you think about our coaches? You know, how they interacted with the kids. You know, now Ralph's got an advantage; he speaks Spanish. But you know, the interaction part, the teaching part, maybe some of the things that you saw with the drills. Anything you like particular about that?
The coaches did a great job. The hardest thing for me, you know, when trying to help out, because I don't have the vocabulary, so trying to get the students, the children to understand, you know, what we're trying to teach them. You know, you're using a lot of hand gestures as opposed to using that language, unless you're Ralph. Ralph had it all going. The rest of us are going, mira, mira, yeah. You know, and trying to, you know, point things out. But, you know, with these kids, they just wanted to play, and I think we were able to adjust, you know, the camps appropriately. They like doing some of the drills and such, but they really just wanted to get out there and play as much as they could.
Yeah, the thing they really wanted to do is just say, hey, get the ball, let's go, let's play the ball game. Matter of fact, Ralph, you had to explain to them a little bit about, you know, before we play the game, because, you know, it's fun to play, but you got to know what you're doing also, and you don't want to get hurt. So explain what you told them and before they need to play just the game.
Yeah, these kids were just so eager to get out there. We're like, wait a minute, we're here to also make you better baseball players. So part of this becomes, you know, training, warming up, some, you know, some techniques, some drills, all this kind of stuff. And they're looking at me like, wait a minute, we're not just going to play? I mean, let's get out here and play. Well, you know, and they're so used to that I don't think they get the training and the aspect of working. They're just so talented. I mean, I can't even imagine if we gave these guys the drills that we had, you know, how much better they could be.
Yeah, one thing we did see, and it's nobody's fault, because these kids, you know, they come from a poor community. You know, the church does as much as they can for them, but we saw that they didn't have the basic fundamentals that maybe other Cuban kids might have, because they have that opportunity to be around some coaching that we're, you know, like yourself or someone else. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, they just don't have it. They just don't have the level of expertise that we do, that we were blessed with to give to other kids, unfortunately. I mean, they just pick up the game by watching it, basically. I mean, they watch it on TV, see how it's done. They come out here, and they're so athletic, and they're just so hungry to play the game at a different level that they just go out there and play the way they've been taught to play. And like you said, when we told them, hey, let's play, they put on their hats, and, I mean, by the time we wanted to teach, they've already broken up into teams, yeah. And had 9 guys on the field and 9 guys hitting. We're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Now let's talk about that too, because I mean, you think about it, you got to get warmed up. Obviously, you want to be prepared to do all your work. But then there are some benefits to going and just playing the game every day, maybe not having too much coaching. Let's discuss that a little bit.
Yeah, the benefit of that is just your reaction time, your game time experience. That's also a lot of help. I mean, you can't teach the, you know,
instincts
of the game sometimes. And that's one great thing they do have is instincts. They can instinctively do a lot of things we can't. And that's because of their ability also. I mean, they can go get balls. Like we said, that's shortstop and a first baseman. They can go get balls. We're like, wow, they got to that? But they're just so used to doing it and just playing in the game that's what's home for them. That's what they understand and know.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, and even in the U.S. and some other countries, you see the coaches want to be so involved that it's almost like they tell them everything they need to do, you know, how to get to second base or how to, you know, get to third. They're always controlling every aspect of the game where there is no instincts. So playing on your own is a benefit.
Yeah, especially I was impressed too, especially we're taking away a lot from the catchers. So, you know, we've gone to, you know, cards on their hands, numbers, calling pitches. What I like too was, I mean, one of the pitchers threw a high ball and the catcher's sitting here. He's like, no, that ball's going to get hit out the yard if you throw it up here. I was like, we need it down here. And he didn't even look in. He just took his pitch and the pitcher threw another pitch. And we're like, you know what? See, they're learning something. I think we're taking that to a different level also. Just taking the whole complete game away from the catchers instead of, you know, trying to make them understand, you know, I need to set up here, understanding the batter where they're setting up and things like that. So we're doing a little bit too much here. Instead of them learning the game, we are making it maybe too easy for them.
Jim, you had the hitting part yesterday. Well, on the hitting, you know, we gave these kids some pretty big bats. Yes. Because, you know, they were donated and you give what you can get, you know. Tell me a little bit about the hitting, how that went.
Well, as you said, it was a challenge because they were all working with 32, 33-inch bats. They probably needed something more, 29, 30, maybe something like that. But they were choking up. You know, some of the kids, you know, had a really nice swing. You know, you didn't even have to do much. But when you work in the short term, just trying to get them a little bit of technique, you know, trying to even just get them, put your hands together on the bat, you know, learning what it means to choke up. And again, couldn't share that in Spanish, so
yeah, right.
we tried to show it.
So you had to use a lot of visual, right? A lot of hand signals.
Absolutely, yeah, and to moving the foot, you know, you couldn't say move your foot up there. I just go grab his foot and move it, you know, up to a certain spot. I'll tell you, the best hitters we saw though, they're the hermanas, the sisters, right? So we had a couple sisters who were there working in Cuba. They're from the Dominican Republic though, and they were crushing the ball. And I think they took you deep a couple times, Pete.
Yeah, they took me. You know what? I was going to drill one of them, but I don't think that would have been a good thing because, you know, father was with us, and if he would have seen me drill a sister, that would have been a bad situation.
Yeah.
So, and I know God's watching, so that would have been really bad.
Send a purpose pitch though, you know, something a little inside.
Well, you know, a couple of those guys, we had that left-handed hitter, he was probably around 13, right?
Yeah, 13.
And, you know, he took me deep a couple times, so I had to start, you know, mixing in the changeup, the curveball, you know, and he let me know that he took me deep a couple times, too.
No, they were not shy about sharing their successes, so.
Well, listen, when you were working with them, you know, you're a principal, you're an educator, you're a teacher, you know, you had to use a lot of visual stuff, but kids are visual, so these kids are the same. They'll pick up things.
Oh, yeah, and they were very good listeners. I thought everybody that we worked with, you know, they really wanted to learn, and they certainly wanted to hit and be a part of that. But they, you know, if you were sharing something with them, their eyes are on you almost all the time, listening.
But plus, I mean, share with our coaches around the world and our parents too. You know, a lot of times teaching isn't about just talking. Sometimes we tend to talk a little bit too much. Yes.
Yeah, and this, you know, when you take language out of it, you really had to show all the time, and that was certainly a lot different when we see it back home.
So, coaches, keep that in mind. Be, you know, visual aspects for the game for kids are important. Plus, you know, sometimes we talk a little bit too much. That gets a little boring, and that just goes in one ear and out the other. You know, you've got to keep kids moving. And, you know, these kids were no different, guys, than any other kid in the world, were they? Like you said, they just want to play. And they want to move all the time. You know, they don't want to stand still. You know, they want to constantly hit. They want to constantly run. They're excited about the game. So is there? Let's end this part because we're going to get in. I want to get into the base running also on the educational part. But let's anything else you'd like to talk about that really impressed you? And, you know, whether it's baseball or anything else, impressed you about the kids, the trip, or anything else?
I think, you know, and you see this a lot when you visit countries like Cuba, you know, countries that are underdeveloped, you know, kids who are living in poverty, but they're all so welcoming, you know, to the people. I think everywhere we went, we had such a real sense of welcome from every person that we met, and that's, you know, true for this entire group, obviously. The hospitality is just off the charts. They always want to be, you know, taking really good care of you, and this country certainly was no different.
Yeah, they're great people. You know, it's interesting. They don't have a whole lot, but they're awfully giving, aren't they? Ralph, how about you?
Yeah, I'm just going to repeat what he said. That was the most amazing part, and just the amount of home runs too that were hit. these kids can swing the bat.
I think that was the pitcher.
That might have been the pitcher's good BP, you know. But you still got to hit the ball, right? That's what they say, anyways. But it's just been a great time of just being out here with the kids and the adults, and it was definitely a great experience.
Well, hey, and also we had a great group of people. And Jim, I know you know a lot of people, so tell me a little bit about them, and you know, briefly that you know where they come from, what we did a little bit, you know, together.
Sure. So the non-baseball coaches like myself really came from all throughout the country. We had, you know, someone from San Diego, from Washington, D.C., a couple from Boston, from Grand Rapids, Michigan. So all working in some way with the Missionary Childhood Association, either through the parishes or schools back home. So the goal for, you know, the rest of our group was really to see the work of the Missionary Childhood Association in Cuba and start to figure out ways that we can connect with our work back home. How do we help connect the schools and parishes and groups that we work with these communities down there so we can help and support them in the work that they're doing.
And we had a father and a sister, and you know, they were great on the trip. I think they were great inspiration to all of us.
Yeah, everybody really made some great contributions to the trip. We had a lot of laughs together. It was nice, always nice to be with a group that gets along really well, really enjoyed their time with each other.
And keep in mind, folks, you know, a lot of the folks on that were on the trip, they really didn't know each other. There's a couple that did, but mostly didn't, and we got together really quick. And Ralph, you mentioned, you know, that this would be a great experience for kids to be able to experience international baseball and international culture.
Yeah, I mean, this is once in a lifetime opportunity. You guys really don't get to see the other end of baseball and where it comes from. I mean, it's just a great experience. It's such a good learning experience. You know, you get to see, you know, how they play. You're going to pick up things that you will probably never see in the States, and I think that's huge. I mean, the more you can pick up from other countries and develop your skills, you become a better player. That's just the bottom line to the game. I mean, that's why the pro athletes get so, I mean, that's why they're so good. I mean, they practice all around the world. They practice with people around the world. The coaches are around the world. So why aren't we doing this as a young group of kids getting to learn it at an earlier stage? I don't know.
And we got to mention, you know, this includes all of us. I think everybody in the U.S. we're so fortunate that, you know, we get a little spoiled. We have too much sometimes, and we think we need all that stuff to become better. Well, these kids in all these countries, they don't have anything.
Right, they have absolutely nothing, and I think that's helping them too because their gloves aren't as big. They're, you know, usually like we would buy just a small glove for a training glove.
Yeah.
They're using it all the way till 15 years old, and so you put a real glove in their hand. You know, you put some real bases on the floor. You put some flat turf down where they can, and, you know, they're not getting any bad hops. These kids, it's going to be easy for them. I mean, it's going to be too easy for them. So that's what makes them a great player. And if you get the opportunity to come across the country and come over and play, I think that's only going to help you. I mean, you're going to understand what it's about. You're going to stand the hunger in them. It'll open your eyes to a different type of ball game.
Folks, we are on a bus on the way from Camagüey, Cuba to Santa Clara because we've got to catch a flight back to the U.S. I wish we could spend another week here. I know Coach Seiler, he's still not up, and I know we may change his ticket so he can stay another week because I know he's excited. He was excited about being here, but right now, I don't want to wake him up because, he might get mad at me. So what we're going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit to Ralph Santana because Mike Pinnell told me that Mike Santana has changed the way, the minors have run the bases. And it's a really unique. He's got some great ideas. And I think a lot of people around the world need to learn a lot about base running because it seems to be a part of the game that is kind of, people think, well, you should know how to run the bases. So they really don't teach it. So it's undertaught. So let's start with this. Give us your kind of overall philosophy a little bit about base running, and then we'll get into some specifics.
Okay, well, and I break it down as simple as this. The last time I checked is not how many hits you got, it's how many runs you scored. So,
I mean,
you can have 18 hits and 3 runs, and, you got a chance of losing. But just an overall basis, we're going to be really aggressive on the bases. Very smart, but very aggressive on the bases. We stole a little bit from Mike Socha. He started it, I guess, and we go to first to third. At any chance we get to. We're going first to third on a base hit. Not only are you putting a runner in scoring position, but you're in third base, which is 12 different ways to score from third than there is second base. So the more opportunities we get to score a run, the more we're going to take it.
Now, so you don't, explain your philosophy as far as first to third. What the player's making that decision, does it matter how many outs, all that?
All right, so let's get that out of the way, because that's the old cardinal rule of we don't make the first or third out at third base.
Exactly.
We don't believe in that. We will go to first to third on any given count or any given outs, or it doesn't matter. If you make the first out at third base, we're not gonna harp you on it and stuff like that. You get to third base, we're a pass ball away from scoring. You're a drop third pitch away from scoring. A ground ball to the infield, you're scoring. A fly ball in the outfield, you're scoring. A balk, you're scoring. There's so many different other ways. So why not go first to third? Not only that, if you have a trail runner, we teach our kids also, if you have a trail runner, the trail runner is probably going to end up at second base. So instead of having one person in scoring position, we have two.
Because they're throwing the ball to third.
Right. They're going to try to get
there. Now, what's the key to be able to get to third? In other words, you're on first base. You've got to do certain things right to make sure you get to third. Because a lot of young players, they don't know, they don't take the proper lead. Maybe their secondary is not good. So what's your key areas there to make sure they do those well?
That all comes into effect also. Your secondary lead, your steps, on how many steps you're taking to a bag, the way you're rounding the bag is huge. So if you're rounding the bag too big, then you're taking two extra steps. This game is about inches, right? I mean, you're safer out by an inch. So if you take that two extra step and you're out, you could have been safe. And that's the biggest thing. We make sure you take the bags right. We count your steps. We try to get obviously the less steps to a bag, the quicker you can be. So you don't have to be tremendously fast if you can have less steps to a bag. So, I mean, for example, 2 years ago we had a catcher that ran a 7-3 and he stole 26 bases. It's just about technique, footwork, and understanding the game and being aware of where you're at on the field, where the ball is hit, and what to do at that situation.
And that's a good point. Now, so what about, like, if the ball's in front of them, is that different than if the ball's behind them, how they run the bases?
Yeah, absolutely. If the ball's in front of you, you see it. The play's in front of you. You should be, able to see where the ball is and take the bag if it's there. Make the decision on your own. You don't need to be hand-fed. Hey, you need to go. No, that's not the way it is. The play's in front of you. Read it. Take advantage of the situation, knowing that we're being aggressive. Of course, that changes depending on the score.
Sure.
Amount of outs. Sometimes, you obviously don't want to take second base if you're down three when you don't mean anything. But if you're up runs, we're being aggressive. And once your opponent understands, and now they do understand how you run the bases and understand that you are an aggressive thing, that makes them bobble the ball. That puts more pressure on the defense for them to make the play. And anytime you're putting pressure on the defense, you're winning.
Yeah, because you got to figure if you're going first to third, their defense is touching the ball a few times, you know, before. I mean, they got to catch it and throw it. Many mistakes could happen at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And they know if the ball's in the gap, hey, this guy's not stopping here. I got to be quicker to the ball. And that's when they make mistakes, when they start trying to speed the game up. Then they're trying to get rid of out of the glove too early, or they're trying to get rid of it too early. And the next thing you know, you got to air. Somebody throws the ball away. Hey, and instead of one run, we got two.
Now, we got a lot of high school coaches, a lot of travel coaches, volunteer coaches. You know, we got obviously like yourself, professionals. When that player makes that decision on their own and they get thrown out, how is that discussed, corrected? Maybe it was okay. How do you handle that aspect? Because, you know, a lot of coaches tend to yell,
right,
you made a mistake, and now that kid will never make that decision on their own.
Right. No, what we tell them is, hey, good job. Way to be aggressive. Stay aggressive. That's
stay
what we want.
Plan.
Stay with the plan. Stick with it. Okay, so he made a great throw. He got you out. So what? He won. 1-0. You're going to have another opportunity. Let's put it again. Let's put pressure on him. I mean, that's what it's about. You can't invest in something and implement something if you're going to be negative towards them when they make a mistake. This game is about failing, and it's about learning from your mistakes. But if he makes a great throw and he just throws you out, he threw you out. Big deal. Know what? Hey, next time around, let's go. Because we wouldn't say anything if he threw it over his head and then you're on third base. You know, so we don't really get down on him unless you make a mental mistake and, you know, clearly shouldn't have gone. We're like, hey, look, I like the aggressiveness, but right there is not the situation to go. You can't go right there, okay? Let's talk about why. And we talk to them why, and then they understand it. So, okay, look, I made a mistake, but you don't take the aggressive away from the kid.
Let's talk about this. Let's stay with the first and third. Now, at the professional level, they may have done it a lot. At the younger levels, they haven't done it a lot. Are there certain things you do in practice or any drills that you do with the team to practice this?
Yeah, we do a lot, actually, on base running. We did it twice a week. Throughout spring training. And what we do is we run the bases, we visualize where the ball is hit, we'll put people in certain situations, and we will run the bases accordingly to where the ball is hit so they get a feel of what's going to happen and understand what's happening during the play. That way, when it comes to a game situation, they have seen it before, yes.
Yeah, so now you're doing it at the pro level, and these are guys that know it. So imagine at the younger ages, you know, they've really got to practice this.
Right.
To teach that aggressiveness, to make sure it's an instinct. So that's first and third. So we're good with first and third. Now, let's discuss a little bit about, you know, they get the first, their leadoff, anything particular that you teach there that's important to, you know, the pitcher or however else you teach your young kids or even your guys?
Yeah, the leadoff to first base is pretty simple. Everybody kind of takes the same way. Nobody does anything different. You want to be about 6 feet off the bag, 5.5, depending on your side, you know, and if you can get back, you would get more. But it's usually a step and a dive back into first base. Keys to that is you want to look in towards a catcher, see if you can't pick up his signs. I mean, the catcher's hands are right there where you can see it. So use your peripheral vision, see if you can pick something up there. The next thing we do is...
You're looking at the signs. How's that going to help you taking off and as far as base, you know, stealing a base?
Okay, for example, if the catcher calls a curveball, once he comes set, he's got the curveball grip in his hand. He's not coming over to first with the curveball grip in his hand. He's not going to throw a curveball to first. That's just not going to happen. Right. So if you have that in your mind and you have already picked up your sign, you're aggressive here. You're really aggressive here. I mean, you're almost leaving on first movement because he's not coming over with a curveball grip.
And it's really hard for a catcher to protect that with a runner on first because the runner on first can see that real well. He can protect it from the coach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He protects it. He's got his glove down on his left-hand side to protect it from the coach, but he can't protect it from the first base, especially once you get out there and get a lead, unless your legs are pretty short and you got them closed off, which a lot of catchers don't. I mean, you see it at our level. You still get it at our level. Well, we can see the signs, or they'll have the signs too low, and they'll have them more down by their feet where you can still see them. So there's a lot of advantages to picking that up, and once you do, it's a stolen base for anybody. You got to understand, and you're probably throwing a curveball. If it's a 1-2 count, where's the curveball going to be? In the dirt. So not only do you have the pitch, you understand where it's being located, and you're stealing a bag. There's no way this catcher's throwing you out.
What's amazing, we talked about the first and third and now the leadoff at first. You know, even on the first and third, I was just thinking, the base runner has such a huge advantage. If you guys can get away with it and be aggressive and be successful at it, that's the key. going first to third, and you guys, your defensive guys, professionals, can catch pretty good. Imagine at the high school level, at the other levels, where kids don't catch as well. They should be extremely successful going first to third.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we got it, too. Fortunately, Mike Pinto, the manager of the Southern Illinois Miners, he went to and got a chance of talking to Mike Socha. And the statistics of it was ridiculous. They went first to third, I think, 120 times. And they got caught, I think it was 15 times, at the major league level. What do you think is going to happen at the lower levels? I mean, those numbers are just outstanding.
That's a no-brainer. And I think, you know, once coaches start to understand that, hopefully they'll implement it more in their games. Let's go back to the leadoff at first base now. Is there anything particular you have your guys looking at, the pitcher? You know, if he's coming to first or if he's going home, and it helps them get a good jump.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of our biggest things, and we do spend a lot of time on there. You got to understand, just like hitters, pitchers are creatures of habit. They don't like change. Okay, so the way they come set isn't going to be different every time. They're going to come set the same way every time. It's kind of like hitting. You don't get in a different stance every time you come up to hit. Well, you don't get in a different stance every time you come up to pitch. So therefore, when we get to that point, we're looking at keys, back of the knees. Okay, does he have a big leg kick? Is he a short leg kick? Does he move his shoulders before he moves? Head nods. All that comes into play, because if you can pick something up and he's not in his head every time twice and going home plate, hey, we're looking for the second head nod and then take off. I mean, it's there. He's giving it to you. He's not going to change after you see something like that. So just like that, they like to bend the back, and then some like to push off. Your power pitchers like to push off the back, off their back leg a lot. So they're going to bend their back knee a little bit more than a normal pitcher would, because they're trying to get more velocity behind the baseball. So if his back knee's moving before anything else, that's another advantage we can take. So we really do look at a lot of keys when it comes to against the pitchers, and especially, you know, lefties are the tough ones. And right there, we just use the front hip and the front shoulder, because you can't, you know, you have to turn something to go to first. If it stays up and down, then, you know, you got to stay put.
Now, obviously, at the pro level, you guys see these guys a lot, so you've got reports on them and all that. Somebody you haven't seen, not before the game maybe, but right when the game starts, how are base runners going to know what kind of move he has if I've never seen this kid or player before?
Right. The key is to get somebody on base so the leadoff batter can see what he's got going on. But warm-up pitches. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself the way he warms up. He's going to warm up out of the windup first, and then he's probably going to take two or three out of the stretch, and he's probably going to use his move because he's not going to change. He's trying to warm up to get prepared for the game. And right there, he'll give you a little example of what you go, and then you go on from there.
And then how about the leadoff? Do you want that leadoff even with the base? You know, you hear a lot of things, behind the base, in front of the base, you know, where are they leading, you know?
Yeah, you want to stay straight even with the base. It's the shortest distance to the bag. So just line up even with the bag. Take your lead. Don't do anything funny. You don't want to get in the back of the bag, because then, you know, you're trying to slide around it or try to do something. It's going to be easier for you to tag you out. And you don't want to be in front of the bag, because now the first basemans aren't even on the bag. They're taking 2 to 3 inches and playing in front of the bag so they can tag you. So the game's changed a little bit with that, and just straight up and down with the bag at first base.
You know, I feel bad, boy. We were going to sprint to second base and meet Coach Seiler there, but Coach Seiler still hasn't woken up. That's how hard we've worked this guy. Coach Seiler got a great compliment. I know we're talking base runner, but he got a great compliment. He didn't hear it. A couple of the folks on the trip were really impressed on how he worked with the players, you know, and I've known Darren a while, and I've watched him in action. You know, he's not a screamer and a yeller. You know, he's a professional. He really works good. And so, you know, later on when he listens to the show, he's going to hear that he did a great job. But he's got to wake up to do that. So then he can hear the show. So let's head to second base. And that, because I know Mike told me about some of your second base stuff, and I thought, wow, this is really impressive, and our coaches need to hear it all over the world. So let's talk about the second base leadoff, how important that is, how are you going to do that, the read and everything.
Yeah, the second base is where a lot of people, where you can get third, pretty easy. A lot of people do tend to fall asleep on second base, and it's a real where you can steal a lot of runs from there. The first thing we do is, you know, you're going to get a 12 to 15 foot leadoff of a second base. We do the walking lead, which is where you're starting from behind the bag and coming to the bag. The reason we do that is it's a deception for the pitcher. If you ever get to do it, if you start behind the bag, it looks like you're further away from the bag, but it's the same distance. And when you move up closer to the pitcher, it looks like you're not gaining any ground. You're getting closer to the bag. So once they see that, they're just going to turn and throw. So we use that as to an advantage of us. Hey, if he keeps doing the same thing, we'll time him. And as soon as, you know, he turns his head, we're going. And a lot of pitchers do that. Head nods are big from that. They turn and look. Some turn and look once. Some turn and look twice. Some won't look at all. If you have either of those three, we can key that. Okay, so if you're a pitcher and they always say, hey, look, just don't look, they won't go. If we know you have that in your arsenal already, we will go. So if you don't stop our feet, we're just going to continue to get a lead until we're halfway there, which we've done, and they don't look and then throw the ball. By the time you try to do that, we're on third base. So there's very many ways from second base that we get to third, and that's one of them.
And how about the secondary at second base? How important is that? Well, you actually second or first.
Right, it's really important, and here's the thing. People aren't aggressive at second base, and we got to understand you cannot take the same lead from first and you do second because there's nobody covering you. Okay, you have the third base coach there, but we still don't take an aggressive lead. We still kind of just sit there and wait for something to happen. Other than like we do. We take an aggressive lead there. We're going to take a bigger lead, make sure he's paying attention to us a little bit more, and it's not a gimme, you know, but at the lower levels, it's just taught where you're just there and you're about 8 feet off the bag. No, you need to be 12. You need to be moving your feet. If he does not stop your feet, keep moving. You'll get to third base no matter what speed you have. You know, make sure they're working in and out. If they're not working in and out, you know, they're not coming to the bag right away. It doesn't matter. You're not their first priority. The pitcher's priority once you get on second base is not, hey, how do I get the guy out of second base? No. His priority is, hey, look, how do I damage control this, and how do I get this guy out at home plate? Okay, so you're not first on the priority, but you got to make it to them. You got to be a priority to them where he's paying attention, because the more he's starting to pay attention to you, the less he's starting to pay attention to somebody at home plate. Maybe he leaves a mistake up, and then we got two runs.
Now, that secondary, is that a shuffle? Is that a walk? Is there a benefit to one or the other?
Yeah, the secondary is usually a shuffle. It's two shuffles, and you got your secondary. You don't want to get back picked, so you don't want to get to, if you're not going to third base, you don't want to get too far off and be like, hey, drawing attention to yourself, like, hey, look, he's too far out there. So it's two shuffles, and you probably have your secondary. Of course, with two outs, you take a bigger secondary than you do with one out, and you go from there.
You talked about the distance. Back and forward, you know. Now you got to sell your guys, even though these guys have done some of this before. You got to sell them on your philosophy and your concept. How are you going to sell them on? How are you going to make them believe what you're saying is really true?
Yeah, that's a great point, because that's one thing they're always, you know, you're always skeptical about. But so what we do is we put these guys on the mound, especially on first and second base. I didn't hit that when we were at first base, but we put these guys on the mound and
you put the runners on, the actual base runners, you put them on the mound.
Yeah, we put the base runners on the mound. Actually, we'll go as a group together, and we'll go on the mound, and everybody will go on the mound one by one to see what actually the pitcher is looking at. Like, you got to understand, they cannot see much from first base, if anything at all. So why are we not being aggressive? They can't really see it. Usually how many times have you seen the infield say, hey, look, he's getting too much, or step off, he's way off, and they're not paying attention. And sometimes you're able to take off and you see, wow, he's up, standing up. They're not paying attention to you. So why are we not being aggressive at these bases? So the same thing with second base. We put them on the mound, and then we take our lead. And when they see, oh, man, you're right, like, it really does look like you're coming in, that puts a different perspective in their head.
Absolutely.
So once you put that in their head, they're going to do it out there. Now they understand what's going on and what's the method, and now they're going to be, and then you'll be amazed on how, hey, Ralph, can I do this? Hey, can I add to this? And you can add. If that's the way you want to run it, that's what you feel comfortable with, absolutely. You know, so you got to give them the freedom, too, to add things and how to be aggressive. So
yeah, and it's interesting because you're getting players from different major league teams, you know, so they got different teaching methods, and they come to you, and now you've got to be able to put one, you know, a philosophy together, sell them on it, and so forth. So, folks, if you heard that, I mean, that's I think that's extremely important because of the fact that, you know, you're like Ralph said, you're putting the base runners as a pitcher, and they're really starting to understand what the pitcher sees. And I think you'll be able to sell your kids on that, and you'll see that they'll be much better base runners. Also, before we head to third and coming to the end of the show, what about the communications with the third base coach and the base runner at second base? Anything particular there?
They're going to let you know whether, and everybody knows whether to get back or you're getting too much. You know, we use the word clear. If you hear clear, that means nobody's around you. And we won't tell it to you two and three times, so we're going to draw attention to it. We're not going to be like, hey, clear, clear, clear. Obviously, if you're saying it too much, they know, and you're going to give it away.
What's the base runner focusing on at that time?
When they say clear, we want a secondary, almost like a secondary step. We want you to take two steps, make sure the pitcher looks back.
But from the immediate time that they're taking the lead, are they looking at the second baseman, shortstop, the pitcher? Are they looking at both? You know, you see kids, they're not sure what to do because they don't know where everybody's at.
Right. It's your job just to key the pitcher. If you get picked off, if he's got the ball. If you get picked off, it's our fault. Unless you do something just out of the ordinary. But if we can't tell you back, or, hey, step closer back because there's somebody there, then it's our fault. And, you know, I have done it. We're all human. Like, we make mistakes. Oh, so yeah. I've gotten a guy picked off a time or two, and I'm like, hey, look, man, I got carried away. My bad. So don't worry about it. Stay aggressive.
Well, you know, we're not talking coaching philosophy, but that's extremely important because, you know, a lot of coaches aren't like that. A lot of coaches, you know, they always get upset at the player. And a lot of some coaches don't take the onus that, you know, coaches make mistakes. Let the player understand that.
Right. That's huge, man. Coaches, we're not perfect. Okay, look, we make mistakes too, and it's a lot easier for you to get more out of your player when you say, hey, look, that's my mistake, man. You just keep playing the game hard and keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to get 10 times better result than you saying, hey, man, come on.
Yeah.
Really? When it was your fault. Like, come on, give it a break. Like, you got to understand you will make mistakes too, and they understand it. And you know what? You're going to get more power. They're going to respect you more for that, and they're going to listen to you more because now you're taking the aspect of them making mistake out of the game. And that's what most players are scared of, is making the mistake. Nobody wants to make that mistake and give up the game-winning run. Nobody wants to be the guy that got picked off in a pickle in the bottom of the ninth. But you're taking that aspect out of the way, and you're getting a better player.
All right, we are heading to third, which means we're coming down to the final end of the show. Let's talk a little bit about third, you know, your philosophy there, and then we'll end it up.
Yeah, third is real simple. There's not too much to talk about. We take our normal lead at third base. The third baseman's back. You can steal home, but it's really not a place where you're going to steal home. So we take our normal secondary, and the only difference is we want to, when we break back to the bag so the catcher doesn't have a throwing lane, we want to run inside the baseline. That way we block the view and the angle from the third baseman just being able to throw you out.
So the lead is in foul?
Yeah, the lead starts in foul territory. And when you run back, you'll be in fair territory. So that's the only thing. Everything else, fly balls. Of course, you're going to step on a bag and listen. Sometimes they say listen to your coach, but you got to. If you can turn and look, turn your shoulders, you're going to get a better reaction from yourself than you are waiting on the coach to tell you when to go, when not. The only thing the coach should be really saying is yes or no. Yes being yes, you should go tag home, and no being, hey, look, we're not going here. The only one he's really going to help you is down the left field line where you're blocked and you really can't see the ball. That's the only time he's going to say tag. Other than that, it should be a yes or no, and it should be in front of you.
You know what? That's a critical point you just brought up because many times I've seen where the coach always makes the decision. The problem is the reaction time slow, as you mentioned. Now, on going down foul and coming back fair, what's the reason for coming back fair and fair territory?
Just so the catcher doesn't have a clear throwing lane at you. If he does throw it and you're in that lane, the ball hits you and you're not out. So I'd rather the ball hit me and have a welt on my back before I'm getting thrown out of third base, because that could be a critical run for you guys.
Fantastic, Ralph. That's awesome. Coach Spillman, we are coming to the end of the show. First of all, I want to thank both you guys and also Darren Seiler for being on the show in the first half of the show. You know, I'm looking over there. He's still sleeping. I'll tell you what, it must have been, he had fun with the kids, and it was hot out there. Well, never Alpha, but, you know, he just worked so hard that I understand. I've been there.
Rookie.
Yeah, that's the rookies sometimes. You know, rookies, they're not always on top of things, but they're getting better at it. Don't worry about it. Coach Spillman. We're still on the road here. I don't know how long we got, but what about
89 kilometers?
89 kilometers.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what about the view?
It's been beautiful to see this country. The one thing we missed, unfortunately, is not getting to see the water at all. We've really been center of the country the whole way, so we didn't get to see any of the ocean. But a few folks in the group are heading on to Havana later on today, so they're going to get to go there.
That would have been nice, huh?
Absolutely, but got to get back to work,
someone's,
you know?
Someone's got to work.
Someone's got to work. Take care of the kids. Come on.
Well, guys, listen, this is your opportunity. This is the end of the show. It's the opportunity for you to say whatever you like to our coaches and parents and players all over the world. It could be baseball. It could be any tip you want to give coaches. We just have a couple more minutes here. So let's start with Coach Spillman.
Well, I would just say, you know, in support of what you do, Pete, if you are out there and you got kids that, you know, are looking for a unique kind of experience, I think this kind of international baseball experience to come down with a group like this or a group like the ones that Pete runs, it's so eye-opening to see the living situations that these kids live in, and yet the tremendous joy which they bring to their lives every day, and particularly to the game of baseball. And it's been, you know, it's been really great to see their love for the game. You know, it's that common language that we share. You know, you may not know how to say things, but you know how to play the game the same way, and you at least share that in common. So I would encourage people to take advantage of these kind of experiences in countries like Cuba as we start to get more development down here and connections down here, and then in some of those other countries that he takes group to.
Fantastic. Thanks. We really appreciate being on the show.
Hey, great. It was great to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, I'm looking over here because Coach Seiler's near me a little bit. I see an eye opening up. Hang on. I see two now. Coach Seiler, how you doing, buddy? Come on now. Say a couple things to our folks around the world because you did an awesome job, not only on the show at the beginning, but you also did a great job with all the kids. And I didn't tell you this because you were sleeping, but the folks around the world know that a couple of our folks here were really impressed on how you worked with the kids. I wasn't because I'm familiar with you, and I know you do an outstanding job. But give us a quick perspective of an overall perspective of the trip that you had and the communities and the kids that you met.
Yeah, it's been a really great opportunity. I just want to thank you again for the opportunity to come down and to work with the kids and to be a part of this group. And, you know, I encourage as many of the listeners out there that get an opportunity to use baseball as a way to see a part of the world that maybe you haven't been to before, or to branch out of that comfort zone to do it. I would encourage you guys all to do it. And, you know, thanks again, Pete. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Coach Seiler. We loved to have you on the trip. I know the kids had a great time, so thank you for being part of the program. And now, finally, with Coach Santana, who obviously a lot of the kids also loved, and then he had the opportunity to talk to him in Spanish, and I think the kids liked that also. So, Coach, tell us a little bit about your final thoughts about the whole trip.
It's been a great trip. It's been just overwhelming, great experience. I want to thank you again for having me aboard. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. Just life lessons you get to learn, and you get to learn from wherever you go, and it's just been great. I've met new people. We had a great group. We laughed together. We did everything together. We ate, and everybody had their role and did their thing, and it was just an amazing time. Wish I could do it again, and thank you for the opportunity, and it was just wonderful.
Awesome, Coach Santana. Again, great having you on the trip. It was fantastic, and want to give a special thanks. The Inside Pitch would like to thank, you know, obviously the International Sports Group for allowing our coaches or selecting our coaches to be on the trip. But really a special thank you, a very special thank you to the Pontifical Mission Societies in the U.S. because, you know, they're the ones that put together the mission trips. And they're, you know, they do great things through God. And it's just amazing. You know, for us it was an experience just watching everybody work with the different families and kids that we met, because, you know, we did the baseball part, but these other folks, you know, they really inspired the kids, and I think the kids also inspired all of us. So we this has really been a thrill and a great experience. I want to thank the sister, the father being on the trip, everybody, and finally, you know, this is coming to an end. Hopefully our listeners got a great perspective of Cuban baseball, of Cuban kids, the families, the trip, everything. We hope you can join us one day. But we got to stop the show because this might be the longest show that the Inside Pitch has ever had in its 18 series history of the show. So finally, thank you to everybody. And don't forget, anything you need, email me at peter@insidepitchpodcast.com. Go to our website, by the way, the insidepitchpodcast.com. I've got a 7-set DVD series for volunteer coaches or coaches all over the world. If you're interested in the instructional series, you know, just send me an email. We'll give you the cost, and we'll let you know how you can get that special set of DVDs. And also a special thanks to our Lineup Media Group. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to put the show on. So if you need to go to the website, lineupmediagroup.com, you can check out all our shows. Don't forget, share our shows on Facebook, Twitter, emails to all the people you know all over the world in baseball, and which will give them the opportunity to listen to our show. And remember, coaches, education is the key to building the foundation of our sport, so keep getting smarter. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, closing it out from Cuba. Have a great coaching day and see you on the next show.
This has been the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo, a Lineup Media Group production. Get access to all of our podcasts like Youth Baseball Talk, You're on the Clock NFL, and Let's Get It On with famed MMA referee Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock. Online at lineupmediagroup.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.